Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Anne Ball, and Phil Dierking. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, Dorothy Gundy and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
The United States is expressing concern over a clash involving protesters and supporters of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. The clash happened Tuesday in Washington, D.C., near the home of Turkey's ambassador. Erdogan had met with President Donald Trump at the White House earlier in the day. Parts of the clash were caught on video by VOA's Turkish service. State Department official Heather Naward said in a statement the U.S. concerns would be communicated to the Turkish government in the strongest possible way. Violence is never an appropriate response to free speech, and we support the rights of people everywhere to free expression and peaceful protest, the statement said. VOA's Turkish service said the protesters were supporters of Salahaddin Demirtas, a jailed pro-Kurdish lawmaker. Turkish officials arrested him in November on terrorism-related charges. Rights groups condemned his arrest as part of a government crackdown on dissent. The protesters said they were demonstrating peacefully until Erdogan's guards and supporters suddenly moved toward them. Video shows men wearing dark suits and others hitting and kicking protesters. Police appeared to struggle to keep the two groups separated. At least 11 people were injured in the violence. Two arrests were made, and Washington, D.C. police said other suspects were being sought. Police said they were checking reports that some of the attackers worked as bodyguards for the Turkish president. Turkey's embassy blamed the violence on groups linked to the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, a group fighting the government. An embassy statement said the group had aggressively provoked Turkish-American citizens who had gathered to greet Erdogan. Washington's police chief, mayor, and several U.S. lawmakers condemned the violence. Senator John McCain, a Republican, urged the Trump administration to expel the Turkish ambassador over the incident. I'm Brian Lynn.
The
The U.S. Justice Department has named a special counsel to investigate whether Russia and Donald Trump's campaign worked together to influence the 2016 presidential election. The Justice Department said in a statement Wednesday that former FBI Director Robert Mueller will oversee the investigation of Russian government efforts to influence the 2016 election and related matters. Trump said Wednesday the independent investigation will show, in his words, there was no collusion between my campaign and any foreign entity. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein made the appointment. He said, "I have determined that a special counsel is necessary in order for the American people to have full confidence in the outcome of the investigation." Mueller served as FBI director under both Republican and Democratic presidents. He led the agency from 2001 to 2013, before ousted director James Comey. President Trump fired Comey last week. A small but growing number of Republican lawmakers have joined Democrats in calling for an independent investigation into possible ties between Russia and Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Reaction from both Republican and Democratic lawmakers about Mueller's appointment was positive. Mueller's investigation would be separate from the ongoing investigations by the FBI and several congressional committees. The calls for an independent and non-political appointment have grown following Comey's dismissal. And news reports Tuesday said that Comey wrote a memo describing a meeting he had with President Trump in February. In the memo, Comey reportedly wrote that Trump asked him to stop the investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's ties to Russia. Three Republican-led congressional committees have said they want Comey to answer questions about the memo. Lawmakers also want the FBI to hand over any notes that Comey left about discussions he had with White House officials on the Russia investigation. Congressional investigators are also asking for documents from the Justice Department related to the firing. Stocks fell sharply on Wall Street Wednesday as investors worried about how the latest problems in Washington could affect Trump's plans for the economy. I'm Ann Ball.
Not so long ago, the world's oceans were filled with different types of fish. Now, a large increase in global overfishing has threatened that supply. According to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, 90% of the world's fisheries are either being fully exploited or are at risk of collapsing. With fish supplies running out closer to home, fishermen are traveling further and further to find their catch. Frequently, fishermen are crossing over into other countries' territories, creating both political and environmental conflict. Overfishing can be found everywhere, from Mexican fishing boats off the U.S. coast of Florida to Russian crabbing boats in the western Bering Sea. However, the impact is felt the strongest in the South China Sea, where many countries have territorial claims. Vietnam, Brunei, the Philippines, Taiwan, Malaysia, and China all consider parts of the sea as their territory. China makes the largest territorial claim and also has the largest presence in the area. As fish supplies closer to its shores are depleted, the Chinese government is now helping fishermen crossing borders to find fish. According to the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative, Chinese Coast Guard boats have been patrolling near Laconia Shoals off the coast of Malaysia since 2013. The vessels were there to protect as many as 100 fishing boats from China. Fishermen from Vietnam and the Philippines have accused China of preventing their fishing boats from entering the disputed waters. Some say they even try to ram their boats or even come on board and take their equipment. The Philippines has been in dispute with China over Scarborough Shoal and the surrounding waters. China has used its navy to keep Filipino fishermen out and encourage its fishermen to catch in these waters. An international court ruled for the Philippines last July in the territorial dispute, but China rejected the ruling. Both countries, however, are expected to sign an agreement later this month on a joint use of these waters. Further south, Indonesia has also seized and destroyed over 300 fishing vessels from Vietnam, Thailand, and the Philippines for illegal fishing in its waters the past 3 years. Overfishing does not stop in East Asia either. On the other side of the world, West Africa is now seeing damaging effects of overfishing. For coastal African countries, such as Senegal, the fishing industry is a large part of the national economy. The World Bank reports nearly 20% of the Senegalese are working in the fishing industry. Rashid Sumaila is the Director of Fisheries Economic Research at the University of British Columbia. He says communities that depend on fish for income and food, like Senegal, are now at risk. According to Sumaila, China is not the only country to increase fishing off the African coast. Europeans have been fishing in these waters for a long time, too. Recently, the European Union has been supporting European vessels to come over and fish, Sumaila said. For many Senegalese, Sumaila says fishing is the only thing they can do because of the lack of education and skills to work in other sectors. About 260 million people draw some income from fisheries worldwide, and most of these jobs are in developing countries. Sumaila adds that if these jobs go away, and young people don't have any other work to turn to, the chance for frustration and social unrest grows. and some are forced to immigrate to other countries to find work. Overfishing eliminates many of the big, high-value fish and removes a food source for other fish and animals. If left alone, Sumaila says, nature knows how to balance this. But as more fish are caught more frequently, it doesn't leave time for the population to stabilize. Another concern is habitat destruction. Bottom trawler boats, which drag nets along the ocean floor, are damaging coral reefs, which are important habitats for fish. In the South China Sea, China is also building man-made islands to claim territories in disputed waters. The construction of these islands has been very harmful to the coral reefs. John McManus is a marine ecologist and reef expert at the University of Miami. He says, when you're in a situation where you're overfished and on the verge of fishery collapse, you don't want to go destroying fish-generating machines, and that's what coral reefs can be seen as. Sumaila compares the action to taking away the home and the living space for fish in the ocean. I'm Phil Dierking.
This is what's trending today. Chris Cornell, the lead singer of Soundgarden, died Wednesday night. He was 52 years old. He and the band were in Detroit, Michigan for a concert. Soundgarden was a well-known rock band in the 1990s. The band's music style is known as grunge, which became popular in the 1990s with the success of Soundgarden and other bands like Pearl Jam and Nirvana. The music style started in Seattle, Washington. Cornell was known for having one of the best voices in rock music. It was featured on Soundgarden's most successful songs, including Black Hole Sun, Spoon Man, and Fell on Black Days. People have been reacting to his death on social media. Fans wrote comments under the band's YouTube videos after the news of Cornell's death. On the Fell on Black Days video, one fan wrote, "Fitting song for today. Rest in peace, Chris." Many people talked about how many good songs came out in the early 1990s, including those from Soundgarden. Late in the day Thursday, Detroit police confirmed Cornell committed suicide. Many musicians used social media to express their sadness. Gavin Rossdale of Bush, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction, and Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin all wrote about Cornell. Navarro wrote, "Such a terrible and sad loss." Soundgarden broke up in 1997. Cornell went on to play music on his own and with a new group called Audio Slave. Soundgarden got back together, however, in 2010. The band was on tour when Cornell died. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Imagine you are watching an action movie, such as Mission Impossible. You hear the following exchange.
Would you like to watch a movie?
Oh, no, thank you.
Would you consider the cinema of the Caribbean?
You might have noticed that one of the speakers uses the word would, not once, but two times. Have you ever wondered about the word would? Would you like to know more about how native English speakers use it to show different meanings? Today on Everyday Grammar, we will explore a difficult area in English grammar, modal auxiliaries. By the end of this report, you will understand how modal auxiliaries are used in American English. You will also learn about three uses of the word would.
Language experts say English has two main groups of words, form classes and structure classes. Form classes are words such as nouns, adjectives, and verbs that give basic meaning. The form classes are open. In other words, they often change as speakers use new or different words. The term structure classes means a small group of words that explain the grammatical relationships of words from the form classes. Structure class words are generally closed. In other words, structure class words, such as prepositions and, you guessed it, modal auxiliaries, usually do not change. This definition comes from Martha Kohn, an expert on English grammar. She notes that native English speakers do not often think about structure class words, despite their importance. Mastering structure class words, such as modal auxiliaries, is one of the difficult parts about learning English.
We will not test you on the differences between structure and form classes. We just want you to know that there are two main classes of words, and that knowing words from both classes is important. Now, let's take a look at one difficult word from the structure class, the modal auxiliary would. Modal auxiliaries change the meaning of the verb next to them. They show a speaker's opinion. They can express a possibility or necessity. Modals such as would have different meanings depending on their context. We have discussed modals in other Everyday Grammar programs, which you can find on our website, voalearningenglish.com.
One common meaning of would is to show a wish about a present condition or a future event. Consider the statement, I wish it would stop snowing. Here, the speaker expresses a wish about the weather. The speaker means that it is currently snowing. Would expresses the speaker's wish that the weather change. The meaning of this statement is almost the same as, I hope it stops snowing.
A second common meaning of would is to express a past or unrealized possibility. This past or unrealized possibility did not come true. Consider the sentence.
I would have helped you, but I could not get off from work.
In this statement, the speaker shows regret about not being able to help. The speaker is saying that he might have been able to help if he was not required to work. Here is an example from American popular culture. Consider these lines from the 1960 film Elmer Gantry.
Jesus would have made the best little all-American quarterback in the history of football. Jesus was a real fighter. The best little scrap of pound for pound you ever saw. And why, gentlemen? Love, gentlemen. Jesus had love in both fists.
In this example, the speaker is talking about a past or unrealized possibility. Jesus was a religious leader. He never played American football. In fact, he lived long before American football was invented. Speakers do not always use would to show a past possibility. They might use would to show an unrealized possibility in the present tense. Consider this example.
I would help you if I could.
Here, the speaker is showing that she is unable to help. Whether the speaker is being truthful about her ability to help is a different question.
One of the most common meanings of the word would is this: to make a polite request. This structure is useful in almost any situation, at work, school, a restaurant, and so on. Imagine you are at school and you cannot understand a question in mathematics class. You could ask a student,
"Would you help me with this math problem?"
Using would in this way is considered polite in American culture. You could ask the same question or give a direct order by saying, "Will you help me with this?" or "Help me with this." Although such sentences are grammatically correct, they are not considered polite in American culture.
Think back to the exchange you heard at the beginning of this report.
Would you like to watch a movie?
Oh, no, thank you.
Would you consider the cinema of the Caribbean?
We have examined three basic meanings of the word would today. Can you tell which way the speaker used the word would? Do you think would has one or two meanings in the audio? Write us your answers in the comments section of our website, voalearningenglish.com. The word would has many other meanings. The next time you are watching an American film or listening to American music, try to study how speakers use would. Are they using it to express one of the meanings we described today, or do they mean something else? Understanding modal auxiliaries is a difficult but necessary skill if you would like to improve your knowledge of American English. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.